Unit 6, Part 1, A New Job. Hello, Woolworths.
Ah, hello. I wonder if I could speak to the personnel manager, please.
Yes, certainly. If you'll hold on a minute, I'll put you through.
Thank you.
Hello, John Adams speaking.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Adams. I saw your advertisement in the Saffron Walden Reporter for a hostess. Oh, yes. And I wondered if you could give me a few more details about the job.
Yes, certainly. Perhaps I should make it clear from the start. It is a part-time job. Yes. We would need you from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon, roughly.
Yes, yes. I didn't realize that, actually. It wasn't clear in the advertisement.
Uh-huh. Are you still interested?
Well, I am interested, but it would depend to some extent on what the salary is.
Yes. Well, we're offering about £75 a week.
Yes.
Obviously, this may be a little bit more if you have the right qualifications and experience. Have you, in fact, had any experience in catering?
Well, yes, I have. I'm at present working for and have been working for the same firm for about 5 years, for a small firm of, consultant engineers.
Yeah.
And I've been doing work rather similar to the kind of work that I think, is described in the advertisement.
Yes, well, I mean, we have a fairly small staff here. We're talking about 15 to 20 people.
Yes.
So your duties will be sort of to prepare and serve the food at... just at lunchtimes.
I see. Yes, I'm sure I'd be able to manage that. That wouldn't be a problem.
Yes, well, that sounds about right. Perhaps you could come down for an interview sometime?
Yes, yes. When will be suitable for you?
Let me just have a look at my diary. Yes. Perhaps... What about next Wednesday at about 2:30 in the afternoon? Would that be all right for you?
Wednesday, 2:30. Yes, I think that will be fine, actually. That's okay.
Ah, good. Yeah, and perhaps you could bring any qualifications you've got, so we could have a look at them, and,
Yes, okay.
Could you just tell me who you're working for at the moment?
I'm working for, Bloggs's, actually, in the High Street.
Right, okay. And could I just have your name?
Yes, my name. My surname is Boardman. That's B-O-A-R-D-M-A-N.
Yeah?
And my initial is S.
Right. Okay, S. Boardman.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Miss Boardman. Well, see you then next Wednesday at 2:30.
Okay. Thanks very much, then.
Lovely. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, yes.
Ah. Oh.
Part 2, A Job as a Veterinary Surgeon.
Mr. Mercer, what is your job exactly?
I'm a veterinary surgeon in general practice, looking after all different sorts of animals. Sheep, goats, pigs, horses, dogs, cats. We do have some lions and tigers at the zoo. We have a few bears, wolves, otters. You name it, we look after it.
What sort of pets do people bring you here to your surgery mainly?
Well, mostly it's going to be dogs and cats. But then we have snakes and parrots and rats and ferrets and all the other animals that people keep as pets.
You mentioned snakes. Why do you think people keep snakes? What's the attraction in that?
Well, I quite like snakes, but I wouldn't actually want one as a pet. I think they keep them to frighten other people with, really. No... some people are very keen on snakes. They like having them.
What do you find attractive about snakes?
They're all muscle. They're not sort of slimy as people think. They're all muscle. Fairly powerful. We do have some problems. One or two of the smaller ones will snap at you. But in general, it's the big crushing snakes that we deal with. We had one in here one day that was 13 feet long. Took 3 of us to lift it. Now, if that gets round you twice, wrapped round you a couple of times, then you really are in for a good hug.
Now, the British people have a reputation for being very animal-minded. Do you think the British spend more money on their animals than their children?
It depends on the people. Some people are very good with their animals. Some people are reasonable with their animals. Some go absolutely over the top and treat them far better than they would their children. And unfortunately, there are a group of people that are cruel to their animals. And so we do a certain amount of work with the Royal RSPCA.
What experience have you had of people who treat their animals too well?
Lots of animals come in for surgery with lipstick marks on their head. We regard that as a specific sort of condition here, and we always make a comment on it.
Do you think animals are good for people's health?
Well, of late, we now talk about companion animals rather than pets, and certainly people are taking dogs and cats into hospitals, to old people's homes, where a social contact is needed, and this sort of patting of animals seems to help old people. And certainly we have old people who have budgerigars and other small animals, and they're very much their life. They maybe see one person every 2 days, but their animals are with them all the time, and it's a companion.
Do animals ever attack you when you're handling them?
Mostly we handle them very easily. It's only occasionally that we get hurt by animals, scratched and bitten by cats, bitten by dogs. And my partner recently got very badly hurt by a horse. So we have a dangerous job as well as an enjoyable job. I think probably the thing I like best about it is delivering new animals. It never fails to amaze me how one moment you can have one mother, and the next moment you can have a pile of animals. And I think the day I don't get pleasure out of delivering newborn animals, I shall give up.
But you're still very much interested in your job.
Oh, love it. Love it. I would like a lot less paperwork, and I'd like just to do veterinary and medicine. But unfortunately, you take on a sort of package.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed.
Part 3. A Day in the Life of...
Extract 1. The Cleaner. I start work at... I come into work at 8 o'clock, and the first thing I do is collect my keys. Then I go down to the common room. I sweep and I wash the floor, and I also check the toilets. And when there's no students in the classrooms, I empty the bins and do the rooms. And I also help over the canteen when the girl is off to do teas and coffees. And usually sweep the stairs and then wash them again, and I leave off at 2 o'clock. What I particularly hate is having to be at work at a certain time, and leave off at a certain time, and have to work to a pattern all the while. And I also do hate cigarette ends and dirty tissues about the floor. I think there's nothing more degrading than somebody having to pick a dirty tissue up that someone's used, and also to pick cigarette ends up that have been in other people's mouths. If I was to get paid for every dog end I pick up, I would be a rich lady. What I like about my job is I'm free and easy. I work on my own, and so if I want to do something this day, I do it, and if I want to do something the next day, I do it. I find the students very, very friendly. They will come and talk to you in their breaks or any spare time, and they will tell you all about their country, and it's very, very interesting.
Extract 2. A Sales Representative. The hours really aren't very regular, although I work every day of the week, Monday to Friday. But I don't start at 9 till 5. That sort of hours because I don't work in an office. I work from home. Having said that, some of the hours can be from 7 in the morning till 10 at night, depending on if I get a lot of phone calls during the week. So, having had the phone calls, I've got to go out and see them all over the place, and for that, obviously, I've got to have a car, which the company supplies. All expenses. Some of the people that I go to see are quite awkward. There are a lot of men. It's a very male-oriented business, and a lot of men still feel that a woman's place is in the home, and she should be tied to the kitchen sink and looking after the children. Any candidate who comes for my type of job has to be outgoing, fairly joyful, cheerful. They've got to be constantly smiling, eyes bright, questions answered. And it's not the easiest of situations, if you've had a heavy session the night before.
Extract 3. A Policeman. I don't really have a typical day. All days are different. But on a day for me at work, it would be typical for me to go into my office, 8 o'clock, and liaise with other people who I work with in my office. On commencing the patrol of my area, the other thing I've got to keep my eye out open for is anything unusual in the area. Any abandoned motor vehicles that may have been stolen from somewhere else, or indeed anything else that should need my attention. It also involves being seen in shopping areas, areas of schools, busy crossroads, and speaking, as I say, generally speaking to people, going into shops and finding out if they've got any problems or complaints. Another part of my job is, it doesn't just revolve around crime, it does also involve traffic regulations, though there are several ways you can go about that job without always having to take the person before the courts. Warnings are often given. You don't want to. As an area community PC, it's not wise to upset unnecessarily the people who you want to help in order to do your job. This, you've got to be conscious all the time, and it takes quite a lot of skill.
Part 4. The Changing U.S. Job Market. High school and college students in the United States today, as well as others who plan to work in this country, have one important question about their futures. Will they find a job? There is no easy answer, of course, but let's look at some of the recent changes in the U.S. job market and see if we can make some prediction for future job hunters. A good way to begin is to look at the American workforce and how it's changing. The most important change has been the shift from a manufacturing economy to a service economy. Let's define both of these terms. First, a service economy is one in which most workers provide services. That is, they do something, like pumping gas into people's cars, for example, instead of making something. Generally, service jobs are grouped into 5 categories. 1. Transportation and utility companies, like the phone company. 2. Wholesale companies. 3. Retail companies. 4. Finance, insurance, and real estate companies. And finally, 5. Personal services, such as hotels, car repair, accounting, and medicine. Examples of people who work in service industries include your doctor, your hairstylist, airline pilots, and sales clerks in department stores. In contrast, people who actually produce things, like cars, furniture, or clothing, are part of the manufacturing economy. Now, the point here is that we have changed from a manufacturing economy to a service economy. The following numbers will show you just how much our economy has changed. 100 years ago, 80% of workers produced goods. Today, only about 30% do. Economists predict that by the year 2000, 9 out of every 10 workers will supply services. What has caused this change in our economy? Well, first, manufacturing industries are not growing for one simple reason: competition from Western Europe and Asia. Jobs in American automobile and steel production have especially decreased during the last 10 years. The number of service industries, on the other hand, has increased for several reasons. Because of technological advances, especially in computers and telephone communications, advertising, accounting, and other business services become important. Also, the growing number of married women who work outside the home has increased the need for restaurants and daycare centers. And, as the number of old people has grown, so have healthcare services. So now you know where the jobs will be, and you've decided to look for a job in a service industry. But wait, because some economists worry that the service job explosion may create several problems. According to some studies, American standard of living might decrease because half of the service jobs pay low wages. For example, 3 out of 5 new jobs between 1979 and 1985 paid less than $7,000 a year. The pay is low because many of these jobs don't require much education or training, and many of the workers are part-time or temporary employees. Companies save money by using temporary employees because they don't have to give them health insurance or vacation pay. Such jobs give a worker very little security. The good news is that, as you can see in the chart, the fastest growing service job categories are the better paying ones, particularly in the technological and computer-related fields. But these jobs require a high degree of skill and many years of education. So if you decide to look for a job in a service industry and you want to be sure you'll make enough money, getting the right training and education first is the best way to prepare for the future job market.
Part 5. This Proud Land.
Part 6. Listening and Translation. A. Sentence Translation.
1. Despite several interventions by the Bank of Japan, the yen rose during the week amid a lack of fresh dollar buying incentives.
2. Bank of Indonesia, the central bank of the country, declared over the weekend that it will stop using 5 kinds of banknotes.
3. This is the most serious hurricane to have hit the Pacific Island in the past 10 years, and we'll give you the details as they come in.
4. When it is completed, the port will have an annual handling volume of 10 million tons of cargo.
5. Police figures show that computer crimes are on the increase, with 98 reported so far this year, compared with 37 in 1998 and 72 in 1999.
B. Passage Translation.
1. The pay negotiations were going badly. We wanted to link the pay increase to the productivity level, but the unions refused. They wouldn't budge. We finally reached a point where they were threatening to go on strike. We sacked all the employees. We sent out letters to everyone saying that their employment would cease on a certain date. Then we offered them new employment contracts which linked a pay rise with productivity. One by one, they all gave in and signed on the dotted line.
2. I had a terrible stock control problem with one of the shop managers. I used to say, "Look, I don't want your stock in the stock room. I want it on the shelves." But he never listened. He had a huge stock room, and every shelf was full. Anyway, one day I'd had enough, so I got hold of a carpenter and I boarded up his stock room. You should have heard the screams. But that shop ran like clockwork after that.